Are you a pastor or leader who wants to make a difference? Are you willing to commit to the long term in your ministry? Come along on a journey of endurance with Alan and Trent. Welcome to Endure, building churches and leaders that last.
All right, we want to welcome you back to the Enduring Churches podcast with Alan and Trent. This is Alan, and I've got Trent here with me today, and we are so glad to be with you today. We've got a very special subject we want to talk with you about today. We're going to be talking primarily to pastors, but even if you're not a pastor, we've got something to say for you.
That's right. Today, we're going to be talking about the need for different kinds of sermon planning. And even if you're used to doing your planning, or some of us don't plan at all, right? It's like the Saturday special, you know. But we want to help you and give you some ways to do that. Hopefully, you'll be better prepared.
Absolutely. We believe that, you know, if you don't work a plan, the plan's probably going to work you. And so it's very important for us to really talk about this idea of planning. And, you know, again, if you're not a pastor, understand something. Your pastor puts in a lot of time. I've heard some pastors put up to 20 hours a week into their sermons. Trent, I know you at least put 20 minutes in, don't you?
Every Saturday.
Every Saturday.
Yeah, I honestly, I don't do the 20-hour thing.
Absolutely.
But I'm constantly thinking about, you know, and that's why I try to plan ahead some so that I can be thinking about it as I go through life. And God gives me stuff, puts stories in front of me or whatever that match with what we're supposed to be preaching.
Absolutely. And so it is our primary job. It's the job that is the most visible thing that we do. And so even if you're not a pastor and you're listening to this podcast and wondering how it applies, you know, you can help support your pastor and encourage your pastor and lift him up. Understand that this sermon work and planning takes an awful lot out of you. And perhaps you're even a teacher in your church. You teach a class or you do something else. There might be something in here that will also resonate with you today. But we've got some reasons why it's important to plan and to have a plan and know what you're doing on a regular basis. And so why don't we share a few of those things, Trent? What was one of the things that really caught your mind when we were preparing this today?
Well, you know, all of us, we live in life and things don't go according to our plan, right? Sometimes I know, Alan, you just got back from a mission trip and then you've got a lot of things happening and I'm getting ready for some funerals. And so what happens during those very busy times with funerals and weddings and then your family also wants some of your time too, right? So how do you do that? How do you use your time wisely so that you can preach and do a good job for the Lord? And then also fit all those other things in. And that's kind of why we want to talk about this today. Alan,
right.
How do you plan in the midst of all that?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that is important to remember is that if you can kind of know where you're going, you're mm-hmm. going to get there a whole lot better. You know, when you plan a route, you know, I had a grandfather who liked to just take his wife and get in the car and just go. And he didn't care where he went, where he ended up. But they would tell, my grandmother would tell me some stories about sleeping in the car a couple of times because they'd run out of gas because they didn't know where they were going. And,
yeah.
You know, I've never been much of that way. I like to know where I'm going so that when I've gotten somewhere, I can appreciate where I've been. And so here's a few of the other reasons that we think it's important to plan. One of those reasons is to plan is because the attendance and the expectations about attendance, they've changed.
That's for sure. You know, we used to think that a regular attender was somebody who was there 3 weeks, at least 3 weeks out of the month. And they were, you know, always there and involved. But that is changing in our culture. Someone who considers themselves to be a big part of your church and a regular attender may only expect to be there twice out of the month or even one time out of the month. I see that a lot, especially with younger families who have lots of activities with their kids. And so, Alan, as you think about your church family, do you see that happening as well?
Oh, all the time. I mean, you know, I live in Colorado, and so the in the summertime, the mountains are always calling. There's always a sporting event. There's always something that's going on. And so when you're planning your messages, you have to plan a time in there to remember that maybe even up to half your congregation wasn't even there the week before. And so how do you tie in last week to this week, and how do you make sure that you're trying to get everyone the same information that you want everyone to know?
Right. Another thing that we've talked about, Alan, is that we want to maintain our relevance in, you know, the lives of our people and the things that they're experiencing. You know, if as they're dealing with, like we said, the activities of life, we want to be able to plan so that we can be relevant to their life and make a bigger impact.
Right. And you and I, we've talked about this, and for our listeners out there, one of the things that many pastors do today is they preach really long series, and they may stay in a certain book of the Bible for a really long period of time. You and I both realize we're not wired that way. We have shorter attention spans, so we can get bored with our own preaching.
That's right. I have that spiritual ADD, man.
And so you and I prefer the shorter series. And one of the things that I do when I think about relevance is I try to exegete my congregation and think about, okay, what are the things that we need to talk about this year? And I am doing a study through a book later this year. I'm going to be doing a study through 2 Timothy, but I also have some elements on occasionally on theology or a certain topic, and we'll come back to some of those things. But it's important to be thinking about your congregation as a whole, when you're putting together a plan.
That's right. You know, we want, and as we talk about this today, I want to make sure that if you're a pastor and you're listening to this, that you don't think, hey, we're dogging a certain way that we say you shouldn't do that. No, we're trying to present some different options. Because Alan and I, you know, we don't do things the same way either. But we don't want you to think that we're saying, oh, you shouldn't do it a certain way, or you shouldn't stick with a certain book for the entire year. It's just
Right.
that's not necessarily with the way with that we do it.
You have to be true to how God has wired you and prepared you and equipped you. And I think that's good. And I think that's an area where maybe someday in today's age, maybe our seminaries aren't as gracious about as they once were. I kind of wish that they were teaching maybe a little more variety in the preaching, but that's
Right.
maybe that's another podcast.
Yeah,
One of the
absolutely.
other things we want to talk about is just the importance of planning in regards to your weekly schedule.
Yeah, our weeks are, I don't know, it seems like my week is never the same from week to week. And so, but if you have a kind of a set schedule, you know, use some of that time and use it wisely. And if you can plan ahead on your sermons, then you're able to use that time better. Also, the ability, if you plan that time, to collect some resources. If you have an idea of kind of where you're going in the next few weeks, I believe God will show you some things, and you can put those together, and you'll be better prepared.
Right. When I think about our weekly schedule, one of the things that I like to do is I like to take one day a week where that is really sermon planning day, where that's all I do. And we've kind of worked that out where I actually don't do that in the church office anymore. I'm away. Some people like to use a coffee shop. That's not me. I have a little home office, and I just kind of work on my sermon. There's a lot fewer distractions apart from a cat that comes in and sometimes wants some attention. But I find that I'm able to do more. And then when it comes to collecting resources, and you mentioned that, you and I have really kind of found a common ground in a resource that we really love, and that's Evernote.
Oh yeah, man, I'm an Evernote fanatic, man. So
Is it, so we've passed along, we've even passed along a sermon illustration there.
yeah, it's a handy tool, man. You can collect lots of stuff. I've got a folder in Evernote that I think I've got about 150 sermon ideas. And it's easy to get to, easy to find and search. Alan has shared with me a couple of stories that I was like, man, I'm gonna keep that, you know. So
And
all
they're
kinds of
easy to
resources.
tag. You can tag them by subject or by theme, or tag it with a particular passage in the Bible. You can do all kinds of stuff. It's a really handy tool, and if you're a pastor and you struggle with organization, I would really encourage you to check out Evernote as a tool that you can use.
Yeah, Alan, I know that we had written down that, you know, in the future we wanted to do a podcast on resources. And so if you have a resource like Evernote or some other thing that you think is important you would like to share, we want to encourage you to go to enduringchurches.com and, you know, give us some of that feedback and let us know about those things too.
Absolutely. We would love to increase the tools in our tool chest as well. And so all those things, you know, diminishing expectations. So you've really got to be sharp about your planning because people aren't there as much. You got to be relevant. You've got to maximize your weekly schedule. You've got to collect your resources. All those things are part of the planning process. But let's talk a little bit too, Trent, about what we do and the ways we plan for preaching.
Yeah, this is, you know, this is the what we do. Before we were talking about the why, but one of the things that I know that both of us want to impress upon you is that Scripture is the authority. Not God's word is always more important than Trent's word, right? And so there's a couple of words I didn't learn as much. I'm not all that smart, you know, when it came to seminary, but I did learn exegesis and eisegesis. Those have stuck with me, man. And we want to exegete. We want to draw out of God's word instead of eisegete. We don't want to read our own thoughts and our own plans into God's word.
Absolutely. And that is, you know, that is the really the craft behind what we do. And, you know, there are plenty of resources out there to help with that and to understand. But I love how my mentor said it when I was a young pastor. He looked at me in the eyes and he said, "Alan, always remember that a good sermon begins with a good text." And that's just true. No matter what style, no matter what you're preaching on, it begins and ends with God's word.
Absolutely. That's so important. God's word is the authority. So as we're thinking about that, some ways that you can do your sermon planning are, one of them is going through a passage of scripture or a book. And keep in mind, you know, Alan and I have talked about that the length of a series, the most that I feel comfortable doing a series is like 4 weeks consecutive. I've got my plan set up for the thing that I want to talk about the first Sunday of every month for the entire year, but those are not consecutive, right?
And so, right.
But you can go through a passage of scripture. I know my daughter's pastor, he's been going through the book of John the entire time she's been in college. So, and she's gotten a ton out of it.
Yeah. And it's not that one way is necessarily better than another way. It's really just remembering what are your strengths in ministry. And so, when you're going through a passage of scripture or a book of the Bible, it is possible that you can go through a section of a book of the Bible, and then knowing your people and where they're at, you can jump to another book of the Bible and go through a section of that, or take a portion like the Sermon on the Mount, if you want to do a series on the Sermon on the Mount or something like that. So we want to preach God's word, and to preach it in a very systematic way is very important, but it's not the only way. There are topics at times that are very important for us to touch on as well. And the Bible has so much to say about topics in our lives that we should not neglect the reality that there are topics that are very timely for our church.
That goes along with what we were talking about earlier, Alan, the maintaining relevance, right? There are things that we see that our folks are dealing with in the community, maybe, or things that they're seeing on the news. And so sometimes we can talk about those topics. I will tell you that those are the challenge of exegesis versus eisegesis is big. And when it's a struggle, not to go searching for a verse that, you know, says the certain thing you want it to say. So just be careful of that.
Right. You and I are both fans of John Maxwell, for instance. We love John Maxwell, and I use a lot of his stuff. But if you're going to preach a subject, if you're going to preach a sermon on leadership, don't start with John Maxwell. Right. Use John Maxwell to supplement. Start with God's word.
Yes.
And let it come from that. And so not only topics, but there's also other current events that are going on that may or may not be completely relevant to your church, but are important to be discussed. And that might be, maybe a Right to Life Sunday or something like that. But there are current events that are very important.
Right. And I know, Alan, you had talked about that we have the role of the prophet sometimes, and that we need to speak the truth, you know, whether it's for or against something that's happening in our society. And that part of that's current events topics. Don't shy away from that. But always remember, Scripture says we're supposed to speak the truth in love. And that's so important for us as we know our people. And, you know, Alan and I have both been at our churches for over 10 years. And since we have gotten to know our people so well, it allows us to speak about those current events and topics in a way that we can speak the truth in love. I think that's so important.
It is. And, you know, I'll give you an example. You know, after the events that happened so tragically on 9/11, that following Sunday, I heard stories of many pastors who did not break their sermon series to talk about the events of that prior week. And people kind of went away scratching their head, you know, does the Bible even talk about this kind of stuff? Mm-hmm. And of course it does. And that was a great time where it didn't matter what you had planned. The current events dictated that we needed to fulfill the role of prophet and step into kind of another role with our church. Now, Trent, you mentioned that you do like to kind of top your series out at 4 weeks. I'm a little more loose. I like anywhere from 4 to 6. Most of the time I like sometimes to jump into a 6 week series, and I've even done a couple of 8 week series, but that really starts to stretch me, in my own personality as far as planning for that long of a time. But one of the things I like about series is it gives an entry point for new people into your church.
Right. That is so good. And yeah, I mean, I've done some things, some longer series over, you know, different times, but I agree. It allows people to like get excited about a topic or, you know, what you're going to. And if I make a big push advertising wise, when I'm starting a new series, you know, I'll post it on Facebook. I'll put it all over the place. And that draws people in that are interested in that and helps them to get a new start. That's really good. Well, the next thing we also wanted to mention is holidays. Those are really important when you're planning your sermons because they're on the forefront of people's minds.
And one of the things I like to say about Easter is talk about a great entry point. It's a great time to start a new series. It's a great time. It's a great time to incorporate new people into one. And so, you know, I encourage you on Easter, think about what kind of series you want to start on Easter, because really the resurrection is the start, right? I mean, in experiencing the power of Christ's resurrection in your own life is kind of the beginning place for all of us. And so it's a wonderful time to start. And the other thing with holidays, be creative.
Yes.
Don't always think that you have to preach from the same passages. There are ways to tie in the Bible. The thread throughout the Bible is that God loves us and offers salvation to us. And so there are many places in the Bible you can go around holidays to incorporate that message. So be creative. Challenge yourself to look at some of these passages and find ways to show how God's word reflects around those holidays.
Yeah, I would also encourage you to look at Mother's Day. That is a holiday that you can really, because moms tend to want to gather their families around them, and a lot of times they'll bring them to church. Grandmas will bring them all to church, and that's a really good opportunity to speak to people at that time as well. So, Alan, you had mentioned to me that you like to have a sermon planning retreat. How do you do that?
Well, a few years ago, I was just frustrated because I didn't have my year plan in place, and someone had encouraged me to get away and do just a planning retreat. And so there's a local camp that gave me a couple nights as a pastor. And so I went down to that camp and I took a lot of books, took my Bible, took a notepad, and I was actually able to kind of sketch out the whole year and put my year sermons in play, understanding that maybe some of those might have to change at some point in time. But It really gave clarity to a year. It gave a vision to a year. I could tell my church, we knew where we were going over the course of the year. And it was really a productive time and a valuable time, and one that actually my staff is, you know, when are you going this year? You know, they're excited for me, because it is a big opportunity to just take a couple days and really pray through and plan out that year. And I will try to maybe revisit that one or put some information in some show notes, but I would encourage you to consider a sermon planning retreat.
That's a great idea. And just also the time of refreshing. I think all pastors need that as well. So it's good for us to mix it up, right? Your church family may be really excited for you to mix it up. But keep all these things in mind. We'll try to have some of these notes posted for you on our website, enduringchurches.com. And so that you can keep things fresh, stay relevant to your church family. And so, you know, keep that in mind. It'll be available for you.
And we also just want to say, if we've got some bivocational pastors out there listening to us today, we just want you to know how much we appreciate you and how much more effort it takes for you to plan a sermon every week when you're got another job and then you're trying to find the time to plan a sermon. And if we can come alongside you in any way and give you any assistance, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You are truly champions in ministry.
Thank you for spending time with Trent and Alan today. Please share your email with us at enduringchurches.com so we can let you know about our next podcast. Trent and Alan are also available to consult with you and your church. If you have found this podcast helpful, please let your friends know. Remember, churches and leaders that endure have eternal impact.